We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today on this NBA play-in preview, we have the great Siobhan. What's up, Siobhan?
Hello, people. Hello, Tiff. Hello, G.
We ready to break it down on the nitty-gritty for this playoff preview, play-in preview?
Yep, all of that.
All that good stuff. Also, reality check master, Tiffany Meeks, who may or may not provide a reality check today for fans.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We're gonna get to the nitty gritty. I am here to defer to you guys because this is your area. I just brought thoughts and expectations, and honestly, fuck your prayers.
I love thoughts.
And do not sell Tiffany Meeks short. One of the smartest fucking basketball people I've ever known. That's why she's on this panel. Goats only on Miami Heat Beat. So we are going to get your nitty-gritty thoughts on this, whether you like it or not. First things first, chat, my fellow panelists. Terry Rozier did not travel with the Heat to Philadelphia. He has been ruled out. There's no probable. There is no maybe. They have cut that. He is staying in Miami to get further treatment in hopes that in the event that there is a game on Friday, a second play-in game, he will be ready with the extensive treatment in Miami at home. Duncan Robinson is probable. He did travel with the team, so he and his back, neck, whatever thing, he is probable. quick reactions. Bond, you do Terry. Tiff, you do Duncan. Are they going to miss Terry? How do you feel about it? Just quick hitter.
I think they missed Terry. I don't even know that I knew what happened to him. I know neck, but like, yeah. What happened? When? What did I miss?
I'm with you.
I didn't see it either.
I'm not. Like, I'm genuinely, like, okay, that's fine. I think they miss him.
Same.
I think they miss him. And, you know, I'm okay with Terry. People are high, low, in the middle, whatever. Like, I'm cool with Terry. I think Terry has contributed. He's added something. I think he could have given us a good look versus this Philly team with whatever like ball screen coverages freaking Philly wants to do, putting Embiid in the screen. Terry's quick. Like, I think that there was a place to, you know, have some Terry utilization, but we move.
Tiff, real quick on Duncan, might play. I don't know how that makes, I don't know if that moves you.
Well, first of all, it should behoove the Heat to get him a new back because they need him. But I had already said earlier, I honestly felt that one of these guys should be out. I think because what it will force Spo to do, to go more of a defensive-minded player.
Yeah.
Because if these two guys are healthy, then of course he's going to shoehorn them in any kind of way he can. But I think it forces him to, if Duncan is there, Duncan will get some time, but I think it's going to force him, and I keep my fingers crossed, that I get more Hamish and I get more DeLon Wright.
Yes, DeLon.
That was one of the things, by the way, if you haven't checked it out, you should check out the Miami Heat Beat and Five Reasons crossover podcast. We did a little bit of preview talk, and one of the things we did talk about with Leif, Ethan, and Alex and Lou was kind of, is DeLon going to get a little run? And Ethan felt that DeLon has been playing a lot lately, in part of specifically in preparation for this matchup. And I think that's a great segue into kind of, we're going to kind of talk about this matchup in a lot of different ways between the Miami Heat and the 76ers. But I think it starts and it's going to end with, how are the Heat going to guard Embiid and Maxey? And we could start with Maxey right there, off pivoting off of DeLon here, Tiff. I think I kind of came around to agree with Ethan that, particularly because Terry's not going to play, and if Duncan doesn't look 100%, I think he is going to get run. I think he's going to be a guy who's going to have a lot of minutes on Tyrese Maxey. I think Haywood Highsmith and Caleb Martin are going to have some time on Tyrese Maxey. I think Jimmy Butler is going to spend some time on Tyrese Maxey. And I know you feel a certain way about that, which is why I said it.
Just so quickly, I think I responded to a Five Reasons post the other day, basically saying that I think DeLon Wright should get the lion's share of the minutes on Tyrese Maxey. Because what I noticed in the last game that we played, something that, I mean, Haywood defended him the best, but he still got what he wanted, right? Okay. So, but I noticed something that Caleb had a hard time trying to blow up. There's a two-man game that they do with Maxey and Kelly Oubre that literally cooked us for the entire first quarter. That first, and I don't know if you've watched Maxey, but his first quarter sets the tone for his game because he ramps himself up throughout the first quarter, and he goes from 2 points to 15 points in a matter of 2 minutes or so. Like, he takes no time. And they just kept going back and forth to that, and we had no answers for that. So either Maxey was scoring or he was dumping off to Oubre. In my opinion, I think DeLon Wright is the better defensive player for this type of situation. He's strong. I think he's stronger. He's quicker. He's longer. And not for nothing, but he's smarter to the ball.
Yeah.
So I just think this is a better situation for him. As far as Jimmy is concerned, I honestly don't even think that's a consideration. Because if you're talking about putting Jimmy on Maxey at the end of the game, why are we burning Jimmy energy at the end of the game trying to guard Maxey when we know we're going to need Jimmy as much as possible on the offensive end? Like, this is a game where if you're ready to start seeing a super Jimmy, this is the moment. Like, there is nothing else. This is where you need him fully concentrated on being in the passing lanes, being able to get buckets, being able to get to the line. I feel like you take too much away from him trying to have him guard Maxey when – you do kind of have a three-headed snake that you can throw at him.
I totally agree with that. And I think that Jimmy as a helper is much more dangerous than Jimmy as an on-ball guy. And I think quickness is not the best way to use his defensive skill. I think containing that quickness is not the most ideal use of kind of what he provides defensively. Like you said, the passing lanes, his help at the nail, which we've talked about. Bond, not just from the on-ball perspective here, but in terms of what they're going to get out of Bam in a drop, I think that when they're going to guard Maxey, because they're not switching a ton, do you see them maybe switching a little bit more, having Bam on Maxey? Or do you just think that, hey, Caleb, DeLon, Haywood, anybody, you're going to have to fight, you know, guard your yard and Bam's going to drop, but, you know, you gotta stay on? Or do you think they're just going to say, hey, we're going to go back to what we know works in terms of kind of, you know, their scheme in terms of switching and all that? How do you think that they're going to go about that with Bam?
I think that they probably, I don't even know if it's that they probably will. Maybe it's more what I would do or what I, you know, maybe expect. I think it's probably a bit of both. I think that they begin the game, and I think they play the majority of the game kind of sticking to their principles, sticking to Caleb, get over, DeLon, get over, Tyler, fight hard, get over, like whoever it is that's getting caught there, get over. And you know, giving Tyler his little bit of, you know, defensive flowers, like Tyler's effort has kind of always been there, and he's gotten better positionally. He's gotten better, like he's gotten skillfully better on the defensive end, and I think that that's big for them. But yeah, I feel like they begin in the drop. They probably, you know, cycle through people with regards to who begins on ball. I'm curious what the outside of Jimmy. I think Jimmy has the freedom to kind of play the nail as he sees fits, plays the elbow as he sees fits, play the one passing, the one lane away gap, you know, as he sees fits. I'm curious of what the like opposite Jimmy wing looks like kind of at the nail. Is it an aggressive show? Because I think Tyrese is too quick for you to kind of, you know, just rely on shrinking the court. I think you might actually kind of have to crash in a little bit from the wing. And then, you know, they have cutters like Kelly Slippery. Paul Reed is active. Like they have guys who will move without the ball. So, you know, I think, it, like I said, I think it's a lot of drop. I do think they switched kind of to some BAM, you know, especially crunch time. If it gets, you know, if it's tight and, you know, they need to switch up pace. Like if they feel like, okay, we rifle through Caleb, we rifle through DeLon, maybe Tyrese himself has lulled himself into a state of kind of comfortability. I kind of know what these looks are going to look like. I know where my reads are. I know who's kind of going to pop open, whatever. Then you know, change pace. You jump them with the BAM switch and see if you can get something there. Kevin, I don't know if they do this with Kevin. Kevin's a real like hedge and get back guy, and they hedge decently well. Like I've seen them, you know, effectively be able to push guys back out toward half court off of a solid hedge and, you know, shrink behind. But man, Tyrese is super quick. So
his speed, I feel like Kevin's hedge works better with different teams. I think the speed of Tyrese Maxey alone
is going to get Kevin Love a lot of blocking fouls, like a lot of on the hip stuff.
Yep. Just
So yeah, I don't know, but you know, we haven't played them with Joel this season, and I think, you know, and we're not going to get into, or we'll get into Joel kind of when we do, but you know, that's a different look too. Cause you're talking about the Tyrese and Oubre, you know, two man stuff. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of that is there with, you know, big guy in the paint, but Tyrese,
I imagine Jovic starts on Oubre, cause they like to start Oubre, Harris, Embiid, Lowry and Maxey. And I think that it makes sense to put Tyler on Kyle. And I think obviously, you know, Kelly, Caleb on probably, you know, in the starting lineup, Caleb is going to be the one to start on Maxey, Bam on Embiid, Jimmy on Tobias. So that leaves Jovic on Kelly Oubre. And Bronx Joker asked in chat, does Jimmy start on Kelly Oubre or does Jovic? And I think it makes more sense for Jovic to do it, but I do see a concern in that two-man game because Jovic is going to be tested defensively.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But if you start Kelly Jimmy on Kelly, you get Kelly as the screener, and now you're involving Jimmy, and Jimmy can handle it. But then I just worry about like the.
That's a switch for them. That's an easy switch. Yes.
Right.
But then you're exposing.
Yes. Kind of the back and like, what is this? Are we comfortable doing the rest of the game? Are we tiring Jimmy out? You know, all of that kind of.
I actually don't think that's bad. And I think, you know, part of the reason why I kind of like the idea of Jovic on Tobias Harris is because I think if that like goads Tobias Harris into being more active offensively, I think that takes possessions away from more dangerous players. Mm-hmm. And I actually wonder if they try to bait him into being a more featured part of the offense. That's typically not a SPO strategy, but I'm curious if they do that. Cause I feel like they run more two-man stuff with Oubre than they do with Tobias, and Tobias is kind of floats in the game sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, then you wonder too, because if Tobias is the one thing that I noticed Philly doesn't like, Philly has speed, but Philly doesn't like to get back in transition all the time.
No.
So I think where Nicky is most helpful is when he's doing his one man push. Because he's the one guy in that lineup besides Bam
who can rebound and run,
that can just get it and just keep going. Yeah. And then that puts Philly on their heels. And if you're gonna have Tobias pick him up, I know.
Frankie G in chat says, too bad Miami sucks in transition. It's just like the bane of Frankie's existence this season.
That's the reality check master, because correct.
That's, that was
right.
That was,
right. But it's yeah. there for them.
Yes.
Like, that is something
just
that is
clean
there.
It the hell up.
Yes. That push and go is there for them. So
I could totally see, like, if Jovic is on a guy like Tobias Harris and Tyler's on Kyle, I can 100% see them try to run that. And if that's a win for Miami, I think. And I think any action that Jimmy and Bam aren't involved in makes them helpers. And I think I'm kind of not there with Bam as a helper more than he is an on-ball guy, but I think that the reps as a drop man have really helped him and have made him a better help defender. Not that he was a bad help defender. He's good at everything. But, like, I mean, like, you know, like Jimmy's an elite high end, like one of the best at that. Bam was like, you know, he was good. Not he graded like at a B+, not the A+ that Jimmy is or whatever. And I just think that I think Bam has graduated to A this season as a help defender. So I'm just something to watch out for. If you're Miami, let's pivot a little bit and talk about Joel Embiid, the reigning NBA MVP, who will lose his crown because he did not meet the eligibility and probably wouldn't have gotten anyway because he just missed too many games. Hopefully he's healthy going forward, but you know, he missed the last game of the season. He looked like he got a little injury tweak. He's back. No real word of how 100% he is, but Miami's going to have to treat him as if he's 100%.
Yep.
The way that the last time they played in the playoff worked was eventually they settled on Bam is going to guard him one-on-one. Bam dropped in pick and roll coverage. They did not switch. Bam dropped, and he guarded him one-on-one, and the help was always late. It was not early help. It was late help. And they forced Embiid to be a passer, particularly down the middle of the floor where Jimmy was there waiting. Jimmy was typically not that guy who would come to help. It was usually Lowry, who was very good at that, being that double guard. Caleb Martin's going to have that responsibility a lot. Haywood Highsmith is very, very good at that. Shout out to Tiff, Hamish. He's going to be really good at that. And that's kind of what I see them doing. They're going to stick to the game plan that they know works. Like, hey, man, you have in closeout games, in elimination games, you have more turnovers than you have assists. You have to prove to us.
Tiff, what's up?
It ain't gonna work.
Why? It's not.
Because everything around him is better. Everything around. They're
point,
not gonna.
Point guard.
Yeah. They're not gonna allow Embiid to get in those positions. The position to be able to turn that ball over in the crunch time with the late coming double. He's not going to have – see, what I think people keep thinking is, I think he's not going to have the ball. And I think he's going to be okay with that. I think Maxey will have the ball and make those decisions. Embiid's not going to get himself caught up and get doubled. And here's the other part that we can keep glossing over, and every Heat fan can gag and clutch their pearls. Kyle is not going to let him have the ball and make those mistakes in crunch time.
I mean, oh man.
So like for me, I was thinking, okay, are they going to double? But then if they double, he's a better passer than he was.
Yeah. He was a good passer.
Yeah, he's not as clumsy as he used to be. Yeah. So do they do that? But then here's my thing. With that help coming, he's got people who can shoot around him now.
Yeah.
So are we getting back quick enough? So I need you to tell me what's going to happen, because I don't think that Kyle-Tyler matchup is going to be as easy as people think it's going to be.
I don't.
Kyle's been saving this. Like, this is, I think we really should be a little bit concerned.
Yes, that Kyle is not only not with us, but with the people that we're about to play. Correct.
Right. I don't think it's going to be, that matchup is going to be what people think it is.
I think Embiid against Miami in particular is his most deadly when they run that little pick and roll, and he kind of rolls into the dotted line where he has that push shot that he's at eye level with the rim. So it's like a little Dave and Buster's minigame for him. Mm-hmm. That's where I worry, because Miami doesn't have the size to contest that, because they don't guard Embiid with size. They guard Embiid by swarming and making him do things he's bad at. And I think with Lowry, to borrow a Zach Lowe term, they could dictate the terms of engagement by running that pick and roll down the middle of the floor, what Miami can do, and Bon, we can get into this, they can send earlier help from the corners, which they haven't done as much this season, but I could see them being like, okay, well, we're going to defend the rim. Bam's going to drop. So Embiid's going to meet Bam, and that guy either has to pre-rotate from the weak side, or that help at the nail has to be bigger, so they may have to play some bigger lineups. And I don't particularly mean Kevin Love. I think that's going to fall on Jovic to help contest and kind of those wings and Jimmy, you know, in particular, and contest there very, very, very hard. And Kyle can make that skip pass to the corner if that guy comes too early. So I think that's, I think Tiff is right. There's a lot to think about in possessions where he is not posting up.
In possessions where he's not posting up. Okay, well, come. I want to touch back on the post up.
No, let's. No, yeah, we're going through it all. So yeah.
No. Everything that both of you have just said, especially about him rolling to the middle, because like I said, there's no clear cut side from where the help is supposed to come. You kind of automatically get this like full circle kind of shrinking it. And like Kyle's a good decision maker. Embiid is huge, makes good decisions out of the role. So I understand the concern there. I'm thinking, so you're saying pre-rotate from the weak corner.
If they have issue when he gets to like that dotted line on the pick and roll, like I don't know what their solution is other than sending the extra guy early to meet him there, because it's going to be Bam. Bam's going to be in a drop and he's going to roll. And I just don't think Bam has the size. And I think they're just going to have to like make it really hard for him, especially like when he does that fake, you know.
I almost don't know that I'm envisioning more like strong side activity just because you have someone else that you can help.
I just think that pass is easier for Embiid, and I think you got to make it harder from the strong side, because the guy, it'll just be closer because he kind of rolls and you know, he's right-handed. So
he is, but depends. See, is which way is he opening up? Is he opening up facing the left? Is he opening up facing the right? It's
tough. I could be wrong. I mean, the Sixers haven't run offense like that against Miami a lot.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm trying to envision. Like, how often do I actually see Joel in pick and rolls, like a hard roll?
Lowry does it with him. They do it. Kyle, then that little pocket pass. He's just not like a Gobert roller. He like stops at that dog.
I love a floater. I love a roller who will kind of float and suss out and like find the spot, the pockets, especially someone as big as him who kind of just has this hand at the rim type of advantage. Mm-hmm. It'll be tough. Yes. Whoever's one pass away, like Tiff said, he's got shooters. He has guys who you know, you can kind of who they feel comfortable taking shots for. And they have people who move. So yeah, I'd be interested to see how they do it too. What then becomes like how strong of a responsibility is the strong side nail person and like the weak side? Just what is the overall kind of shrinking, pre-rotating movement? Do they stay with it? Do they switch it as they kind of cycle through the game? What do different lineups look like with this group? How deep do we trust ourselves defensively to kind of go into the bench? But I've been thinking a lot about like, you know, Joel kind of on the block and getting into kind of that Barkley dribble, the kind of crab dribble back down. And like, I'm just watching and, you know, kind of surveying. And like, we have like clips later. You don't have to do them now, but there's some.
Do you think that if they're pertinent now? I haven't seen the clips. I know Bon. Okay.
You can. We're go ahead. The first one
is. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yep. Go ahead. The first one is like kind of him on the block. So like he's catching it. Just like right here. Pause. It like should pause on his own. Yeah. So him like turning baseline, and then he gets it. Sometimes like he gets himself decently enough under the basket. There's a little bit of space after this first bump, and I almost wonder if like meeting him, like when I think about physicality, I'm thinking about, you know, like meeting, dictating action, dictating kind of force. And like, I don't, not stuff that I want them to kind of lay their hats on, but just like kind of let it play. And like he rolls to the baseline, he gets caught, and then like the string has to kind of come, but his primary defender, Bam, you get him there, kind of keep him there, mm-hmm. base up, allow, you know, or allow the people to kind of come help you a little bit. But you're right, G. They primarily, Bam, you go one-on-one and will, you know, win or win not to kind of bring the people around you.
Like if this is Miami, uh-huh. I'll run it back. when he makes that spin, so he's gonna catch the ball here.
Yep.
And
it's a baseline
right here. Yes.
Somebody should be that there. Guy, you don't want him to get that. You don't want him to get that deep.
Yes.
That guy.
Somebody should be there.
And they'll front. Miami's going to front that pass, and I think they're going to force it. So he yep. catches the ball. He catches.
Bam
the
will
ball.
Be fronting. Yeah. Or whoever right. will be fronting, and that help right. man at the charge circle is there.
He's gonna have to be like closer to the low block, and that makes that spin move a lot tighter.
Yes.
And I just think that that just doesn't become as accessible to him.
Right.
And if that's Miami, that guy in the, at the, you know, in the restricted area, that's not a flood out to Kyle. That's a hard crash. Yeah. When he goes down with the ball.
Yes.
That's what I miss about Kyle. Cause if you go down, that's swipe. And
play the next one. I got a clip perfectly for you. Same thing. When we're crashing in, we don't do a good, or this, whoever they're playing here, Orlando doesn't do a good job of, crowding the ball's airspace. Like, they just get in his face and kind of on his side. He's still gonna right. Oh no, that's next. Damn it. Go, you can run this one.
You wanna run this one or
go ahead? You can.
That see, he does that's too much space, and Miami does yep. not that floor geometry. I just don't think Miami gives it to him.
Yep.
I just don't.
Because
he's in the position to see the entire
he sees
floor.
Everything. That's his
and once you can
Kyle,
see the exactly see
no
that?
Bodies, nothing.
And you see that? Yep. Yeah.
No, like that pass when like he makes his catch, that pass.
Well, you got to put pressure on the pass.
Absolutely, yeah.
Left hand, right here.
Right,
I got my arm, but I'm here right.
and I'm doing
what,
that. Like,
what is
something.
Buddy? What something. Is Buddy doing on the base? Orlando's a good defense too. What are they doing? Right.
Yeah,
like that's
nothing.
That if that's Jimmy, whoever's on that baseline, whoever that's, I'm between the Joel and the ball. You know what I mean? Like, you can't give that to him.
Or at least up. I'm closing this gap. Kyle, that's a great
cut.
What
a great cut by
Kyle.
Yeah.
Perfect cut.
What
a great cut. Just a little, I mean, just in your face. Look, you
just a little distraction.
Keep me in.
Run the next one.
I think this is the one I hope that I
get.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Easy catch for him. Like,
yep.
But then they, boom. Right here. Keep going. Look, right. It collapses, but the ball is still free. Like, you're not distracting. Keep going. You're there, but
right there.
Yes, Kyle. Yes, I got space to swing through and get this back up. That don't matter that you in my face.
He literally put the ball in his face.
We talk.
Look at this. It's
right
here.
That's so bad,
man. We talk about space on the floor, and the most important like object on the floor that needs the space to be effective is the ball. Like, I don't care. You
right
this, but not
and
even
now
that.
look how low it's brought. Look how low he brings it down.
And now you're done.
Right.
Because you won't close that. That can't happen. We're better crashers. We have better hunger for the ball in those types of situations.
We're better active. Our defenders are more active than that.
Yes,
I will say
that's
this.
Crazy.
Their most success against him has been when he does that. When he takes the ball down, there's three Heat jerseys around him, and it's like you are not coming back up.
Yeah.
So they were good at that.
And if you are allowed to come back up, then we're all just gonna foul out because
right. You're like,
why is he Bond? What is going on here? He's unguarded. Like, that's going to be – he's going to get to his spot. That doesn't happen here.
He's going
to
walk to
his spot. If he's more mobile,
that's
a lob. I'm running behind you. Like, that's
– look.
Yeah. Kyle goes to set this screen, and then they switch to switch back. Kyle, like
– We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Man, right? That's, I get it. I get the way that they're facing. I don't like him trying to, like, he's facing that way to have an eye on Joel, but you end up backing yourself into right. Kyle's screen.
He's so smart.
And yeah. Then, so they sent the double from Kyle, but like not late, but kinda is, I don't know.
I mean, that, to be honest with you, that's a little messy. Like, that's a good screen, but they got to, mm-hmm. again, and Miami, I don't, no, they wouldn't, I mean, that just becomes, they double and beat off there. I think.
You think so?
I think so. I think that a guy like Kyle that just let spring free. If at Miami, I think they just let him go. And they're like, you shoot whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's kind of their MO. I mean, he's more dangerous when he does stuff like that. When he's screening and back, popping and cutting.
Back. He gets back to Kyle, yeah. And then the double comes from the top of the key. That guy technically two passes away. They're so close together, it's still damn near one, but they bring the double from Kyle's at the top once it re-enters.
Is it Kyle or Batum? Oh, yeah, it is Kyle. Yeah, and Batum. Yeah. But Batum's man is not really helping.
No, he's right. Just he's just there.
He's just there.
Kyle's man commits. The dude on the left elbow, head turn. Tobias, that's a great cut. It's a good pass. Like, yeah. There's a level of discipline because Joel is as massive and as talented, and he has more intelligent people to move with and play with around him now.
I think that happened because Orlando just lets him get where he wants. And I think that Miami is going to make him work for every single ounce of real estate, every single, not ounce, every inch of real
estate. They're not even bumping him as he's even on his way to the, like, he's going untouched.
No resistance.
Towards the basket. Right.
Untouched. Play this next one.
I think that's it. The last one is like what Orlando does kind of offensively, and they enter into a like an extended block post up. I forget with who. I'm just like now. Oh yeah, this slip screen. I'm thinking about what Miami personnel is stationed where and how we get good looks. You know,
we can come back to this when we talk a little bit about their offense. But I think that's kind of like the MO. I think they're just gonna, you know, and it's funny because we spent like 20 minutes on Embiid when I think the answer is going to ultimately be like, you're going to make them work. It's all the cliches of a spoke. We're going to be physical. We're going to be tough. We're going to make them work for everything. We're not going to make it easy. We're going to be felt. And that's stuff that they haven't done all season, but I'm oddly confident that they are going to do that because that's what Derrick Bolster teams do. And I think they're going to be ready. And the game plan is going to be, we're going to hit them and we're going to hit them hard. We're going to be felt. When that ball comes down, you guys crash. You make that pass as difficult as possible. And if that pass gets out, you run like hell. And they will. They will, because that's what
you
they
managed
do.
To get him behind the backboard. Don't let him get his base back up. Make no. him have to shoot yep. one of these.
Yep.
Like, and let him shoot threes. If he wants yep. to shoot threes, let him shoot threes.
Yes.
I worry about him in transition kind of getting going. You know, because you know their Miami's transition is kind of wonky, and I do think that when you get let big guys get dunks in the open floor, that kind of opens up their shooting a little bit, especially a guy like him. And when he gets a three-pointer going, and it's going to be in Philly, that crowd goes crazy. Yeah. And I think you want to nip that in the bud. So Frankie says, "I miss Doc. I miss Doc too." Doc has a pre-built excuse with Giannis. I hate this. The press conference is going to be great. I'll say that. You know, Godspeed to Indiana. Hallie's going to make your lives miserable. Let's talk about Miami's offense for a little bit, because that's really – I think this is both the easiest and the most difficult thing to talk about. The offense – Tiff, I said this on the Five Reasons show, and you've kind of voiced this a little bit. At the end of the day, man, Jimmy Butler is going to run off pure hate. He's going to be fueled by a hatred unlike no other, and that's all that they need to carry their offense. Hey, big guy. Playoff Jimmy, Mr. Slam Magazine, Mr. Hulu commercial with Jeffrey the Butler, Mr. Tobias Harris over me. I'm going to need you to be as – I need that hatred pure. I need that hatred clarified, filtered, unfiltered, like just pure, primo.
Precipitated, just settled in
all of it. Tiff, I just don't think that guy wants to lose to Tobias Harris. I don't. I mean, that's going to be their offense.
I think the funniest part is that he just, like, it's not even Tobias Harris. Jimmy doesn't want to lose. Like, this is where it is. We've mucked around and we've gotten through 82 games, and somehow, by the grace of Willy Wonka, we're still here.
Hair on the teeth.
We are still here. And he knows it's him or bust. I don't care what y'all want to say about Bam's offense. I don't care what you want to say about Tyler's offense. The car drives with Jimmy. That's it. Everybody, either he's got it or he don't have it. Like, we can't pretend anymore. Like, this is what we need. It's time for him to max it up, and it's time for the other two to follow behind, and then it's time for everybody else to raise the floor.
Yeah.
That's it. This is what it is. And for all the he doesn't care and this and that BS that people say all year, we have to give him an element of grace for what he's been doing the last 5 years he's been here.
Yeah.
Like, we keep saying it, like, he doesn't care. It looks like he cares when it's time to strap it up.
But for as annoyed as he is still, for like as whatever, all of that, zero to zero.
How much more can he do?
Yeah.
How much more can he do? Like, I get it, Frankie. I shouldn't have said it, but because I said strap it up.
Strap what up?
No, but you guys understand what I'm saying. Like, he literally has done superhuman shit on one leg with this team. So I just can't expect that in the regular season anymore. And what we hope is the fact that he looked like dog shit a lot of the year, but somehow he ended up with numbers that are eerily similar to what he's been giving us. We hope that there's something left in the tank. Gee, if there's nothing left in the tank, Kyle's going
to
be dancing.
There's no point to any of this.
No, there is no point. Like, this is it. If there's nothing left in the tank for tomorrow, just start wrapping it up. Just let's all just start packing up these mics. Because it's about to
I got vacation plans in June.
But you know, I got them winning tomorrow. I got them winning.
I did too.
I can't believe they brought me back. I got them winning too, baby.
Every time we think we out.
Pull us back.
Terrible.
I'm gonna regret this so bad. Pablo, cut this up just in case.
Pablo, don't cut anything.
Oh, Bond. My God. That 2 for 15 that he has is going to hit like bad heroin.
Yeah.
Bond.
Well,
you think it's some gas in the tank?
I do.
I think he got the red container. I think he got the red container.
just enough for 1 gallon.
He had it in the trunk all season.
Man.
And I think
gas got a shelf life.
Gas go bad.
Gas has a shelf life. That's why.
I'm asking the question.
I'm telling y'all, it's that one tank. That's all he got.
I think for all of the I hear the talk, I don't hear the talk, whatever. We're better than the Pelicans. All like just for everything.
We are.
We're not. Like what? What we gotta pretend?
Why would he ball like that? Like you don't. You ain't got a lie to kick it, Jamie. You ain't got. But no, I do. I. It's time. You know, for tired of the build. All whatever for whatever might be in the back, grieving for whatever might be in the background of just in the background, it's that time of year. And really not even not to sound cliche, but it is the time. Like there's nothing else matters. It's right here. It's right now. And, he's a gamer. He's going to show up. At least I want to see within the first two Philadelphia offensive possessions, I need a Jimmy Steele. Well, no later than the first five possessions. And that's just defensive activity, tipping the passing lanes. I'm not asking you to be a ball hawk. I'm asking you to be engaged, alert, aware, anticipatory, all of those things, set the tone in that way. And I think I definitely think he has that in him. He was the last person at practice today, getting shots up. He understands what's required of him at this level.
I don't like that though, because real
G's, I know, sit down.
Real G's move in silence.
Yeah.
Unless you're Kobe.
He didn't
Kobe's
do
the
it.
Only one who could do it.
He didn't post it. Like one of the news people was in practice.
Will posted it. So I appreciate it. Only Will posted that. Right. Jimmy didn't post anything. So, he didn't say anything.
I am excited for offensively. I'm excited.
Can I guess?
Who? Go.
Are you going to say Tyler?
Yes.
Because this is it.
Yes to that. But
drop
like,
big?
Yes, schematically, this is it. This time, is it. I need you slicing and dicing in between them elbows. I need a tight snake dribble. I need locked in.
I need that little flip you
got. I love the little floater, Tyler. A lot of these hoes out here don't like the little floater, little push out. I love it.
I like
we're
it.
One of the few people who have it and have it nicely. We need that. All. I'm excited for him tomorrow.
Can we be honest? Be honest. This is it, right? Tyler's healthy. This is it. Like, this is every year we're waiting for this moment.
Yeah.
This is the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
What does he do?
This
what does he do, G?
The agenda. Actually, to be honest with you, I think Tyler's looked, and I think Bond, you might agree with me, he's looked fantastic since coming back.
Yes,
the decision making. Yeah.
But we're talking about tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like he's ready.
I feel like this. And to be honest with you, I think the Sixers might put Kelly Oubre on him and put some size on him. That could be something that's interesting because I think that's he struggled with that. I think he's going to be an active screener for Jimmy in this matchup, depending on who's guarding him. Unless it's Kyle, I don't really see Kyle guarding him, to be honest with you. I think that they're going to put Kyle on Jimmy. Funny enough, I think they're going to want him in help spots. But
and all the Heat fans, why won't Jimmy post Kyle up? Like, girl, you can't just move
you can't move a Mack truck. Yeah. You can't move a Mack truck.
Man, you can chop that bow down, but you ain't just going to move the roots.
That was never the problem. When you put him in pick and roll or something. Don't do that.
Exactly. Right. You got to face that man up. You
make
can't
his badass run.
You got to face him up. You can't
that's
be
a,
lean.
That's a solid base. That's stability.
That's a bailout. And I hate when guys do that to James Harden too. I was like, don't let him off the hook. Don't you let him off the hook. James do cardio.
James is good like guard post-ish defender. Like that's not.
Yeah, well, he's big and strong. He'll do it. He don't got to run. Make decisions and shit, but I love you, James. I agree with you 100%. And I think that just getting that a big and drop is positive. Not even in Joel minutes, hey, Paul Reed, barbecue chicken. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm gonna get a guy
mobile
like you.
Chicken.
And I think that we haven't talked enough about this, but like those reserve minutes when Embiid's off the floor, and I imagine they're gonna split Embiid Maxi. You gotta win those, and I think a lot of that is gonna be like Kevin Love. Zone, Haywood Highsmith, Tyler Hero, Cook. And I think a lot of those Kevin Love plus Hero minutes are going to be with in zone, and they're going to try to club him offensively. And when Joel's off the floor, I can't imagine they're going to play a ton of that with Embiid. I can see, we didn't get a lot into this, but I just to touch on it, I could see them playing some zone against Embiid, and I think it'll work. And I think the zone will probably be more for Maxey than Embiid if it's too much of a problem, but that's going to be something that's going to be in the back pocket. And I think for sure when Love's in the game, we, and you know, we talked about the heads and all that, I just think they're going to play zone because it's going to be at least Love and Nico or Love and Tyler. And I think you just can't risk that in these situations, especially when you don't have Rozier to kind of as offensive backup to kind of boost your firepower a little bit. So it's going to be interesting, but I think those reserve minutes, I think are going to be important for Jimmy and for Tyler. It's like, hey man, I'm going to club the shit out of you when Embiid's not in the game. And we're going to run a lot of pick and roll. We're going to try to get in the middle of the floor as much as possible because Embiid's a great defender. He takes up a lot of space. Yeah. He eats up size. And even though he's in drop, you know, Jimmy has problems with drop bigs. And except Milwaukee for some reason, probably because they're just so deep and he just goes at him with a head of steam. It's but it's so weird, right?
Yeah, I can understand that.
I don't know. But that's kind of where I'm at. Where do you guys see Bam offensively in this matchup, because we've really not talked about him enough and he's going to be instrumental.
That jumper better be working.
Tiff?
Because this is a jumper matchup for him.
I don't like the sound of that.
What you want me to say? He gonna post up Embiid?
You're not wrong.
Doing that. He's not doing that.
Makes me queasy.
Listen, this is a part of the game. This is basketball. He's going to have to hit some jumpers. He's got to get out on the – I've been asking for it all year. He got to get out on the break. He's got to get easy baskets. He's going to have to flash across the middle. He may have to just do a lot of playmaking and take the shot when it's there. I just don't want them coming out force-feeding him offense because I think we get in trouble – when we force feed him instead of letting it happen organically.
And he gets in trouble and gets us in trouble when he decides to take certain matchups personally in a disadvantaged way. Like we don't gotta, we get it. But like,
no, I like when he hates a guy. Like I like when he's like
to hate. It's one thing to hate Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yes.
It's another thing to hate Embiid.
And I
they
like
are not the same.
And take your hate out on Jaren Jackson defensively. Swat that man down like
right.
Nothing. Right. Take I don't need you trying Paul. To like muscle and
right.
Post
and
up.
Hezzy and
I will say, I think offensively, and I'm just thinking about stuff like I agree about the jumper, but I think changing the screening angle a little bit. Like I know the middle ball screen is it kind of lets you, you know, dictate kind of from both sides, but I feel like more things kind of maybe starting like beneath the elbow, like get some lower screen, sending your guard middle. Like if Bam is opening up more kind of towards baseline, I feel like there's pockets there for cleaner space for a jumper rather than him trying to take like that half spin, fake spin back baseline, the fadeaway types of things. Like I agree about the jumper, but I kind of want them to change their, I guess, like screening geometry a little bit. I don't know. Like this is you, whatever. I think it's everything's, you have to be willing to kind of go to whatever it is that you need to go to from whoever it is that you need to go to, whatever it is.
Right.
I'm excited for tomorrow. I have they need things from Bam offensively. I don't want to let Bam off the hook offensively, even though I don't think Joel is a great matchup for him to be trying to exploit. But I'm not going to say that Bam shouldn't impact the offensive side of the game.
But that's where I think he needs to get in the open court. And he has to start crashing the offensive boards. Like, these are things that, like, they need him to do.
He tends not. It's weird sometimes.
Right. So it's like, get Embiid on your back. Get in there and crash the board. Try to get some easy tip-ins. Because I feel like I personally think this is a game, if everything plays out how it should, you can win this game with Bam having 15, 14, and 5.
Eight.
Or whatever. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's the type of game that I think you win with. because he's doing everything.
Yeah.
And the everything for me is we need you on the boards.
I need him making free throws also.
Well, I didn't even get to that.
Because there was, I feel like there wasn't there a stretch where it just felt like, what's happening here?
The stretch is still there.
He's trying to be Dwayne Wade so bad.
They don't need pizza. They got food.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know. You know, guys, I kind of like the idea of Bam in that game five against Milwaukee fourth quarter on offense role against Embiid because when you're pull him away as a playmaker at the elbow, you know, you run your, you know, you run your handoff with Tyler, which they don't do enough handoffs with Tyler. I think that that's really nice. I think if Duncan, listen, Duncan's a guy that if he looks like himself, which
it changes things,
a lot to ask because he's coming back from injury, probably won't look like himself.
But just real quick, what we also are not going to forget, we're not going to forget what happened to Duncan in the last matchup either. So
I don't remember.
He got shut out by Batum. Mm-hmm. That was
Batum's a guy that goes over really well. So yeah.
Yes.
I missed that game. I went to go watch Evangelion. Yeah. Remember? Yeah. I and I was accused. Yeah.
Was that English?
What'd you just call me?
I went.
Who?
It's one of the end of it. What'd you say about my great? One of the great films of all time. Okay, it's real cinema.
You won't say it again. I bet you won't.
I dare you. I dare you say it again. I dare you. I dare you. I double dog dare you.
End of Evangelion.
You whispered because you knew.
I'm scared. I'm a little scared. So I just think that him in that role is positive for them. So we'll see kind of what we get out of him in terms of playmaking, in terms of scoring, and Duncan as well. Get Will Sue, big dunk. All right, guys, closing out the show. I wanted us to pick like a key battleground that you think that is important for Miami to kind of win. Could be like a hustle matchup. It could be an individual matchup. Could be something like a statistical one, like rebounding or shooting. And I could go first for you guys while you guys give your answer. But for me, if I'm Miami, I need to make sure that Philly is turning the ball over. That has been their biggest success. If they win that turnover discrepancy by like a good margin, because Miami has kind of been up and down in terms of their turnovers per game. They're 10th in turnover rate, which is good. They turn the ball over the 10th least. Philly is the second. Philly is turns the ball over the fewest, second fewest in the league. Behind 0.1 by Boston turnover percentage. So I think you got to do what you do best and make them turn the ball over, because if that's a strength of theirs and you've proven that you can flip that, that's one of the biggest advantages that you can give yourself. And that discombobulates them to no end. So for me, that's like the one thing. It's like, hey, we're not going to turn Maxi and Lowry over, but we're going to have to turn Embiid over. So can we swarm him? Can we make his life difficult enough? Not that he's not scoring the ball well and not that his shooting percentage is bad, but is this guy turning the ball over enough that we can make up some of the differences that we might have? So that's mine. Bon, do you have yours?
I probably would say like defensive discipline and what happens in the back line, like not the first wave of our defensive action, but who and how are we recovering out of the first wave? And then what is being held up like in the back? I was going to say like controlling space. And I mean that kind of, I mean, offensively, but defensively too, but a lot to your point with Embiid getting in people's space, like getting in like advantageous, vulnerable space that could be, that can be gotten and claimed and leveraged, you know, for your good. So I definitely think like the crashing on Joel, what happens with Maxi, what does Jimmy look like in the gaps? Like, how are we dictating what happens in space, especially on the defensive end?
Tiff, what do you got?
I think we got to win the battle of the bastard. We got to win the bench points.
I think that's spot on too.
Yeah.
If you're telling me we can't get points, if we don't get points from Love, Jaime,
Hamish,
and something from
DeLon, Dunkey,
and I'm not going to say because we have no idea. So probable dunk in maybe. Yeah. And if DeLon can't give us a quick couple of layups or what have you, I think this is because ultimately I think this is where it's won. I think we got to get those crucial bench points. I mean, I think Love's got to come in and give us, you know, between 9 and 12. You got to get Jaime trying to get in there with some. Haywood's got to give you a couple of threes because those guys will keep everybody honest. So I think you got to win the battle of the bastard.
Come on, bastards.
I totally agree. And you know, no, again, no Rozier for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Duncan Robinson is probable. And I believe tip-off's at 7 p.m. tomorrow.
It's early. It's 7 o'clock.
Early game. So fans, be aware, 7 p.m. on ESPN.
Leave your house at 4 o'clock. Leave
Please be on time. Put butts in seats.
Well, no. This is not. Thankfully, this is not a home game.
So Yeah.
It is. Unfortunately in Philly.
Don't go Philly fans. Stay home.
Yeah,
don't
you gotta stay home. You know. So that'll be that. And yeah, guys. So we will be with you tomorrow. Post game live as always for and the beginning of our postseason. Quote. Is the play in the postseason? What are the rules?
I guess no, because we're not in the commercial.
That's right. It's no playoff, Jimmy. It's playoff.
Girl.
Did you guys see that?
But y'all see they led with Jason Tatum? Y'all saw they led with Jason Tatum.
What is
they want a new king of the East so bad.
I've been in multiple back and forths about it since they posted it. This is utter disrespect. Not only did you rip off like Brady and Jimmy's whole moment, you took the Jason bit bar for bar damn near. And who has ever heard of a playoff Brunson? I mean, I get it. Who's never said that? No one's ever said that.
That sounds like an old turkey. Let me get a slice of that playoff Brunson.
At the deli? At the bodega?
Oh, no, not the boys. Not the boys.
Not the
boys'
head. Not the boys' head. The Brunson.
The Brunson, yes.
Can I get a chopped Brunson?
Right. Black Forest Brunson, please.
Put cheese on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they didn't actually make the playoffs yet. You ain't have to do the commercial.
But
yet.
It's interesting.
They could have used that same group of people and just been like locked in. We already here. We ready to go. Like, why are you just
I'm going
to
tell y'all something. Jimmy is literally Jon Snow. He is literally the only man in the middle of the forest with a sword. And every fucking NBA player, media, analyst, soapbox mama, they're all coming at him. Like, to me, that was a slap in the face.
People are like, oh, it's a sign of respect. We know playoff Jimmy is a thing.
You're
not going to spend that.
I see what you're doing.
I see what you're doing. That's a valiant effort. No.
I don't even know what playoff Tatum is. What is playoff Tatum? Underachieving?
That's what people like. Playoff Tatum.
They like that. They think that's cute.
What is playoff Giannis?
They were saying playoff Spider. Like,
I know.
You know who I'd accept? Playoff Jamal Murray. Because that's actually a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Playoff Jamal's a thing. Jamal, never an all-star, actually insane. In the playoffs, just a different freaking dude.
Yeah.
Listen, they could have even said playoff LeBron. I wouldn't even have minded.
No,
but you playing in my face and you got Jason Tatum leading off this commercial. They want a new king of the East. So
literally using
bad.
It's not a thing.
It's not. We remember.
I can't.
You don't have to tell us. No, tell the producers of the commercial.
I cannot think of a better player who's worse, who's like just unmarketable.
Oh, I disagree there. I think Jason Tatum's very marketable.
I just don't think that he – do people like him outside of Boston? Like, do people be like, that's my favorite player?
Do people – you got to get off Twitter more. People like
I'm
Jason
too, Tatum. I'm too online. It's like he's – I don't know. I don't even know what that man's voice sounds like. I swear to God.
No, that doesn't surprise me, actually.
We actually
you
should
sound
do
like
this.
Al, be
you
sure.
Know, years ago – we did this with Kawhi, and I said, Alf, I bet you don't know what Kawhi Leonard sounds like. So Brian Goins compiled like 5 different audio clips of different players and played them for Alf, and Alf had to identify which was Kawhi Leonard. He thought TJ McConnell's voice was Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, wait.
Because we just don't know. We didn't know at the time. And I'm that way with Jason Tatum because at least Kawhi made his like boringness a bit. It's genius. It's genius. My favorite clip ever is when it's when Norm Powell is like trying to get everyone hype in the tunnel and Kawhi like slaps his arm away and he's like, get out there, man.
Yeah, you ain't doing all that.
He's like,
right. I didn't come here for the shenanigans. I came here to go to work.
I'm gonna do business. I'm gonna win a title. Man, dog. That's what he did. So fucking funny, dude.
Grown ass man, dog.
Grown ass man. I ain't calling y'all delicious.
I ain't calling you delicious.
Jason Tatum looked like his nickname would be delicious.
Man. Oh my God.
That's. We need to play Boston in the play. We need to play the Knicks in the playoffs so bad. Think of the jokes. Think of the jokes, people. Think of the jokes. Man. We'll see you guys Wednesday for our post-game coverage of the play-in. Following that result, we will be with you Thursday, either previewing Friday's play-in game or previewing Saturday's matchup with the Knicks. We'll see you then.
Or pissed off.
Oh, yeah. Pissed off as hell.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.